mature. He would drop out for a while, move around, always being careful. He'd learned a lot in the past 2 months. "I'll be back in a few weeks," he said, "and I'll drop in from time to time. Hopefully after a few years things will be safer." "Where are you going now?" Neil asked. "I'm taking the train to Philly, then I'll catch a flight to Oakland. I would like to visit my mother. It would be nice if you'd drop her a card. I'll take my time, eventually end up somewhere in Europe." "Which passport will you use?"
"Not the ones I got yesterday."
"What?"
"I'm not about to allow the CIA to monitor my movements. Barring an emergency, I'll never use them."
"So how do you travel?"
"I have another passport. A friend loaned it to me."
Neil gave him a look of suspicion, as if he knew what "friend" meant. Lisa missed it, though, and little Carrie picked that moment to relieve herself. Joel was quick to hand her to her mother. While Lisa was in the bathroom changing the diaper, Joel lowered his voice and said, "Three things. First, get a security firm to sweep your home, office, and cars. You might be surprised. It'll cost about $10,000, and it must be done. Second, I'd like for you to locate an assisted living place somewhere close to here. My mother, your grandmother, is stuck out there in Oakland with no one to check on her. A good place will cost $3,000 to $4,000 a month."
"I take it you have the money?"
"Third, yes, I have the money. It's in an account here at Maryland Trust. You're listed as one of the owners. Withdraw $25,000 to cover the expenses you've incurred so far, and keep the rest close by."
"I don't need that much."
"We'll spend some, okay? Loosen up a little. Take the girl to Disney World."
"How will we correspond?"
"For now, email. The Grinch routine. I'm quite the hacker, you know."
"How safe are you, Dad?"
"The worst is over." Lisa was back with Carrie, who wanted to return to the bouncing knee. Joel held her for as long as he could. Father and son entered Union Station together while Lisa and Carrie waited in the car. The bustle of activity made Joel anxious again. Old habits would be hard to break. He pulled a small carry-on bag loaded with all of his possessions. He bought a ticket to Philadelphia, and as they slowly made their way to the platform area, Neil said, "I really want to know where you're going." Joel stopped and looked at him.
"I'm going back to Bologna."
"There's a friend there, right?"
"Yes."
"Of the female variety?"
"Oh, yes."
"Why am I not surprised?"
"Can't help it, son. It was always my weakness."
"She's Italian?"
"Very much so. She's really special."
"They were all special.
This one saved my life."
"Does she know you're coming back?"
"I think so."
"Please be careful, Dad.
I'll see you in a month or so."
They hugged and said goodbye. Author's note: my background is law. Certainly not satellites or espionage. I'm more terrified of high-tech electronic gadgets today than a year ago. These books are still written on a 13-year-old word processor. When it stutters, as it seems to do more and more, I literally hold my breath. When it finally quits, I'm probably done too. It's all fiction, folks. I know very little about spies, electronic surveillance, satellite phones, smartphones, bugs, wires, mics, and the people who use them. If something in this novel approaches accuracy, it's probably a mistake. Bologna, however, is very real. I had the great luxury of tossing a dart at a map of the world to find a place to hide Mr. Backman. Almost anywhere would work. But I adore Italy and all things Italian, and I have to confess that I was not blindfolded when I threw the dart. My research, too severe a word, led me to Bologna, a delightful old city that I immediately came to adore. My friend Luca Patuelli
showed me around. He knows all the chefs in Bologna, no small feat, and in the course of our tedious work, I put on about 10 pounds. Thanks to Luca, to his friends, and to their warm and magical city. Thanks also to Jean McDade, Mike Moody, and Bert Colley.
Hello, this is Jim Dale, narrator of the Harry Potter audiobook series. As you know, audiobooks are great entertainment and a wonderful way to enjoy a good book when your hands are busy. But have you ever considered audiobooks as being good for you? Most of us know from first-hand experience just how beneficial it is to read aloud to the children in our lives. Listening to stories helps children build vocabulary, improve their reading skills, and succeed more readily in school. Being read to is an important step on the road to becoming a good reader, and one of the best ways to ensure a lifelong love of literature and reading. But few of us have all the time we would like to read to the children in our lives. That's where audiobooks can help. Instead of letting a child turn on the television or pop in a video game, try pressing play and engaging them in a good book. Listening to an audiobook has the same educational value as it would if you were the one doing the reading, and they are great entertainment for the times when you're in the car or at home and you can't read to them. A wide range of books guaranteed to appeal to children of all ages, including most of your own childhood favorites, are available on cassette and CD at bookstores and libraries across the country. So, the next time you're considering what to listen to yourself, why not consider picking something up for the children in your life?
This is Michael Beck. We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Broker by John Grisham. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Bob Walter, executive producer Dan Zitt. Text copyright 2005 by Belfry Holdings, Inc. Production copyright 2005, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program. Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.